How many downloads of Jim and Bill It's Another Day podcast?
Today, the podcast show has fetched 400 million downloads since its start, and an average of 350,000 downloads per episode, about 3.9 million downloads per week.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the Weekend Update. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy Saturday to you. Don't forget to get your right side coffee to start your day like I'm doing right now. You know, it is a blend of perfection.
And I have to tell you, our marketing department has been in overdrive mode, putting together a new package, a custom package that incorporates our new slogan, which, of course, again, tip of the hat to our friend Bart down in Vero Beach, who made the suggestion. Bart, this sip of coffee is for you.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's good. Oh, it's good, too.
Of course, the slogan he gave us was making America percolate again. Jim and Bill's right side coffee. And it's going to be in the bag. And, Bill, do we tell them what the bag says, or should we just ask them to go there and see for themselves?
You know, you want to tell them because it's kind of cool. We won't talk about the picture on the bag.
Right.
You know, it's a nice picture on the bag.
It's actually, it's really clever. Our marketing department, they actually must have had a couple of cups of coffee. They were very alert and on their game yesterday, and they put together a real nice package, a new package for our coffee. I'm very impressed, by the way. I really am. You know, but don't tell them that because they'll ask for raises, Bill. You know.
Oh, yeah. No, those guys don't. I mean, they're good, but, you know, a raise? Forget about it. You know, that ain't going to happen.
Yes, the Sopranos would say, forget about it.
Forget about it. Forget about it. It's not going to happen.
You got to try Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. It's a delicious blend of the finest Colombian coffee beans, and it is made to perfection. It's a medium blend, by the way. So, I mean, if you like lighter blends or a dark blend, this is a combination of the two. It's a compromise, but it's delicious. And if you are somebody who can't have caffeinated coffee, we have decaf coffee, too. So you got to try it. Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. We also have, of course, we have Juan and Jose. They don't take the weekends off, by the way. You know, you would think, well, maybe they won't be here on Saturday. Well, no, they are here. Every time the microphone cracks, they're there. So shall we invite them in to sing now, Bill?
Yeah, let them come on in. Come on, guys. Yeah, hustle in here because you only got, like, 4 seconds.
Wake up on the right side with Right Side Coffee.
What they can do with 4 seconds. It's amazing.
That's, give them 4 seconds, and they'll give you a jingle.
That's right. Juan, Jose, and the Border Crossers, and the Right Side, Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee jingle. By the way, we have to point out that it's Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, not to be confused with any other kind out there. Mm-hmm. Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. It's the right side. What can I say?
Yeah, it's good stuff. You got to drink it, and you will want the other coffee, too. You know, it's all good coffee, but just for the bag alone, look nice.
But this is a collector's item bag. We don't know how long this bag is going to be around. It may only be a limited edition. We don't know. We're still thinking about it. But you got to go see it. Go see the bag. We'll leave it at that. I can't, Bill, understand this opening story. Within 48 hours, less than 48 hours after the tragedy in D.C., which they still don't know what caused that. I mean, there's a lot of speculation, a lot of finger pointing.
Well, there's new information out. They got the black boxes.
Yeah, they do. But they do know also that the helicopter pilot was above his maximum ceiling. He was limited to 200 feet in that location. And I guess the accident took place between 350 and 400 feet. So he was well above his ceiling. And they don't know why.
There's a lot of things in there that they shouldn't have had the night vision goggles on, but they did. But the black box says that they actually did see the plane in question, which that puts it into their hands. Yeah. Why the hell were they in the way, and why didn't they get the hell out of the way?
Yeah, I don't know whether we're ever going to get the answers because it involves a military helicopter. And there's probably things that they just don't want the public to know no matter what.
Right.
You know, they do, I think it was Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, who said they were on a national defense training flight. So I would imagine that there's top secret things that they do in that area that they don't want the public knowing about. So, but I do know that the FAA is going to have some explaining to do because they were supposed to have two people in the tower. They had one. Now this.
Well, yeah, somebody went to go get something to eat and left one person to do a two-person job.
Yeah, it does not make sense. And when you listen to the tape from the controller, she sounds surprised. I just saw a flash or something like that. It's like, shouldn't you have seen those helicopters, that helicopter and that airplane before the accident? I'm not experienced. I don't know what kind of training they get, but I was told that they can see the aircraft on their screen and they can see the elevation on the screen. And I would think that they would have seen that there's a danger situation here. They're too close for comfort. And all she would have had to have said is, you know, to the helicopter pilot is drop 150 feet, you know, immediately go down 150 feet. She didn't say that.
Well, so. There's a reason for two sets of eyes. Number one, you have the scope that's right there that you always see. It goes around. It's 360 degrees, yeah. And it's a full compass. So you could look at that and see the traffic that's going there, the direction of them, you know, the codes for the plane, the altitude. It's all right there, unless, of course, they've turned their transponder off, you know. And then you wouldn't see that, but you would see the scope, and that's probably the most important thing to look at, and then take a quick gander up or say, do you see something off at 180 degrees? Yes, I do. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why you need the two eyes. You need, you know, more than just one set of eyes there. So she could have looked to the sky at the time when maybe somebody was going, you know, maybe they were flying and doing it kind of like in a stealth mode, you know, and just doing exercises. Check out flights.
Now, of course, I don't know. The media, they will blame Trump for everything.
Have.
Yeah, for everything. Trump came out and said something like, and I'm just paraphrasing, but he made some thing like it could be a result of a DEI situation, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they said, oh, how can you possibly blame this tragedy on DEI? You don't have all the facts. Well, he, first of all, is the president, so you have to automatically assume that he knows far more than we do. Right off the bat, he knows far more than we do. But second, like, he probably knew the makeup of those people in that tower. We don't. We don't know. But, you
well,
know,
I, you know,
but
you
all should, I was, let me tell you, all I was going to say, Bill, was that the it has been proven, facts are coming out now, that during the Biden administration, they increased the hiring of people who are unqualified people in FAA positions. So they put traffic controllers who weren't qualified, but filled the checkbox, you know, into a situation. That to me says right off the bat that the president was right, that maybe we didn't have the best and the brightest sitting in the tower.
Both Obama and Biden did. They hired people with intellectual, psychiatric, and severe physical disabilities. You want the best that you can be up there. Now, if you're, you know, maybe if you've got a physical handicap, okay, I get that. But if you're not mentally stable, if you're not able to comprehend what's going on, that's a very intense job. Even someone like you or me might not be qualified to do something like that because there's an amount of, you know, attention that has to be paid to that. And it's a very stressful job.
We don't know, by the way, how these people react in crisis situations. That, you know, normally, you have flight one, you're behind so and so, whatever, you're at so and so feet, you're next in line. I mean, there's a routine they get into that is not stressful. They just do one after the other, line up here. But all of a sudden, there was a crisis situation where lives were on the line. And you don't know, again, going back to the DEI hires specifically, you don't know how these people react in crisis situations. And you know what I was also thinking, Bill, too? And I'm not an expert in computers either, per se, but you would think that based upon the advancements that we've made in computers over the course of these past even 10 years, right, that they would have programs in place for guaranteeing separation, meaning that even if the controller missed it, the computer would see it and tell the pilots back away, almost like a TCAS system, terrain avoidance system, which is on an airplane. You've heard the program, in some of these movies and stuff, you'll hear them pull up. Well, that's the computer. That's the terrain avoidance, TCAS system, telling the pilot that there's somebody coming their way and pull up so you don't have a collision. You would think that they would have some kind of a system in place, and maybe they do, and I just don't know this, that tells the pilots, whether the controller is noticing it or not, you're in a dangerous situation. Get out of the way.
Some of that, though, is all dependent on input before takeoff and any adjustments that have to be made. You take off at an airport, you adjust your altitude, and that gets you set for, ceiling and, bottom ground.
What you're saying is, let's say you're taking off from an airport that's 500 feet above sea level, right?
So you're adjusting for that.
You have to make a physical adjustment on your instruments to let the plane know that you're on the ground at 500 feet. You're not in the air at 500 feet, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, you're making those adjustments, but there's more sophisticated things in there, and somebody didn't do their job. They're putting it on Trump, and what was the guy that he put in there? Sean Duffy. Yeah. Sean Duffy was only in office in his position there, overseeing that for one lousy day. He didn't even have his pen holders on the desk.
He didn't have his briefcase unpacked.
So any bad that came from all of this, they don't call him, hey, we got a plane coming in, what do we do? Policies in place. It would take months, at least 2 or 3 months, before anything that he's going to do to really take effect and take hold. So this, while they sit there, well, under the Biden watch, we never had something like this. This is part of your watch, buddy. And Buttigieg, that's you, because this is a remnant of you. This is what you left on our doorstep.
Absolutely. You know what Buttigieg said? I'm not the transportation secretary. It's not my fault. He made a comment along those lines. Like he's been out of office. Buttigieg has been out of office for like 2 days or whatever, and he's pointing fingers at Duffy.
Nothing ever happened during Pothole Pete's watch, but let's see. We had ships that couldn't be unloaded, so we had ships that were cargo ships that were stacked up,
Well, how about the bridge that was hit?
We got a bridge that was hit, and they still haven't rebuilt it yet.
How about the train in East Palestine, Ohio?
With the chemicals?
Yes.
Yeah, How about the one that where they had the ammonium nitrate?
Yeah, 60,000 pounds, 30 tons or something like that.
You could blow up a city with that.
Yeah.
It's never been recovered. We don't even know anything about that. Well, it was spread, it was a leak in the car.
Yeah, right.
The list goes on and on and on, Pete. And, if we go back and do a little research, there's been a lot of stuff that's gone on.
Remember the first was it 3 months of his term in office? He took maternity leave. He and his husband adopted a child, and he stayed home to, nurse it or whatever. I remember seeing a picture of him wearing, I don't know any of the way of saying this, but a artificial boob. Remember that? He was nursing. Yeah. He was, quote, nursing his baby.
He's the real boob.
Yeah. Anyway, getting back to the computer thing I was talking about, Bill, you would think that they would be able to design a system that didn't rely on the airplane's knowledge of where it was, but it would see via radar or some other method where their planes are, how high they are, how close they are, and come up with a quick formula on how to keep them away from each other, a separation system. You know, we have so many different sophisticated computer systems in place, for example, for SpaceX, that that are just amazing. I mean, I take, for example, when the SpaceX, the what do they call it, the booster, when it returns to Earth now, it doesn't just plop into the ocean. You have to go over and pick it up with a hook. Right now, the thing comes back to Earth, lines itself up, and lands where it took off from, right next to the gantry. So
and there's an arm to help collect it and bring it in and set it down in its place.
Yeah, so you would think that with that kind of computer technology, they could incorporate something like that. And I think it goes down to money, Bill. I think it goes down to dollars and cents. But I think if you sat down with a brain and some geniuses like Elon Musk and his people at X or many other companies, Microsoft, if you sat down with these guys and said, look it, we want to develop a fail-safe system in our flying system where what happened in D.C. can never happen again. I mean, unless it's intentional. It's intentional. Yeah. So,
one thing I know, bear with me for a second, is the simple fact that as long as I've been alive,
yeah,
you can look at every airline crash, unless it got blown up, it was sabotage or something like that. It's not one single thing that brought down the plane. It's a calamity of different things. And I say that, you know, you talk about the computers and all of that stuff. And yes, there are systems in place that are safety. And unless it's something we haven't thunk of yet, you know, or thought of yet.
Yeah.
That's not in place yet. If something presents itself, but the bottom line is they can fail and it gets back to the pilot.
Yeah.
And the pilot has to be able and trained to know what to do in every situation. These are just, you know, tools of convenience, but it gets back to the pilot. Now, if they get, you know, very complacent and just forget about things and something happens, they go, oh, what do I do? Oh, what a crash. It gets down to, in every single case, there is some form of minor or major pilot error.
Yeah.
The pilot is in control. The flight tower is in control, and the mistakes ultimately sit in their lap.
You know, this goes back a while, but when I was younger, a company, a private plane company, came out with a parachute for an airplane, meaning if you lost your power and you couldn't restart your engine, you could hit a button on your plane and like a bubble on top of your aircraft would blow off and a parachute would come out and the whole airplane would float safely back to Earth. And I think they still sell it. I want to say, is there an aircraft company called Moody Aircraft? I think I could be wrong, but check on it. If you don't believe me, if you do a Google search for aircraft parachute, you'll see what I'm talking about. And I used to think to myself, why didn't the FAA mandate that for every small aircraft? If that works and, you know, all of a sudden you lose your power and you're gonna plow into the ground because you have no aeronautics anymore, you have no lift, why don't you make it so they can hit a button, the parachute comes out, and the plane lands? But they never did it. And it has to boil down to money. It has to boil down. It's too expensive. It'll raise the bottom line of our airplane. What we can charge, it'll cut into our profits. We can't do that, and that's where I think a lot of these safety features get thrown out the door. If you know what I mean.
Lost.
Yeah, I'd like to see. I would like to see them revisit the computer systems and the safety measures at all the airports. And by the way, Bill, Reagan, they say, is one of the, if not the most challenging airport to land in the United States because of so much traffic and such a small runway. There's no forgiveness on that runway. If you overshoot on certain approaches, you're in the drink, you know. You better be a good pilot. I think they even give a special training, Bill, to pilots to make sure that they're qualified to land at Reagan. not every pilot, every commercial pilot, is qualified to land at that airport. So it's a tricky airport to land in. And I'll never understand why that Army pilot would, and the other thing is this, there were three people on the Army helicopter. They released two of the names and the pictures of two of the pilots. The third pilot, I was told, was a woman, and there was some question about some things, and it goes toward DEI, and I'm not going to get into it. I do not know. It's a tragedy no matter what. It's a tragedy. My heart goes out to those people and their families. But the thing is, why did they not make public the name of the third person on that airplane? What is it? I think they're saying the family wants to keep it quiet, but I don't know whether it's ever been a situation where the family has the authority to keep it from being released publicly. Is there something more that we don't know that they're keeping quiet? I don't know. Bill, and then there's less than 48 hours later. This is mind-boggling. Less than 48 mm-hmm. hours later, 140 miles away to the north in Philadelphia, a ambulance jet flown by a company that's based out of Mexico, it nosed into the ground. They said it wasn't in the air 30 seconds. It took off from an airport outside of Philadelphia, and it went up, and they said it, and if you see the pictures, folks, it's like a Scud missile coming in to, you know, to nail a target. It goes nose down and full speed right into the ground. Six people on board that aircraft dead. A child, the child's mother, two doctors, and a pilot and co-pilot. You know, just amazing stuff. And, you know, Bill, I don't know. Does it seem strange to you that two things like this happen in such close proximity physically and in such a short time period, you know, less mm-hmm. than 2 days? Does that seem strange to you?
It does. I don't get it. Now, you know, one could be a legitimate straight-up accident, i.e. the one last night, because it doesn't make sense. You know, the plane would have been, you know, I would assume, and you know what happens when you assume, in fine mechanical shape. It had, you know, all the fuel it needed. They took off, but right after takeoff, it just nosedived down. And I'm going, that could be mechanical. I doubt it was intentional. It was, you know, for God's sakes, you know, there was a kid that was being flown to get medical treatment. But, you know, I'm thinking, and I think we talked about it before the show, maybe there was an oxygen tank on there that had a small leak and something, it got in the air and something, a wire or something,
sparked,
ignited it.
Yeah.
And they had an internal explosion that caused it to go down. I noticed on the video when I see it, there was a double explosion. I mean, that was a mess.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, you know, and no matter what, you know, the air traffic or the flight before, you know, where we had the problem, there probably is something to be said about the DEI scenario.
Yeah.
This one, I don't know. But, you know, they've got two major air crashes that have to be investigated. And that's a
you know,
big job.
What I know is the initial story you get from the press is usually wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether we're ever going to get the whole story. There's the part of me that wonders, and I wasn't alone because I heard other people asking the same question. Is there something nefarious happening that we don't know about that is causing these accidents? And can we expect more to happen? I'm not saying the people on these planes knew what was going to happen, but was there something that happened that we don't know about? You know, we had these drones in New Jersey. We don't know what they were doing or why they were there, you know, but might there have been some involvement with drones, you know, in both accidents? Was there some confusion? Did these drones have the capability to confuse instrumentation on small aircraft. We don't know. That's the problem with having unknown vehicles flying around our airspace. We don't know what these damn things can do. Now, I'm not saying there is a connection. Now, I told you that Washington is 140 miles from Philly, and I'll tell you that Philly's about 60 miles from, no, about 30 miles from New Jersey, you know? So that whole corridor there has had some issues over the last month and 2 months that are questionable. I don't know. We haven't got any. I watched last night. I was amazed at how a cable news channel can spend several hours rolling the same video over and over and over again with the same kind of interview. You know, different people with the same answers. You know, we're talking with a pilot of this type of aircraft. Can you give us an idea of what happened? And he gives an explanation. Then they go to another guest, right? And you think, well, maybe we'll get something different from this guy. They turn around to this guy, and he gives the same answer. They spent hours doing something that they could have done in, like, 5 minutes, you know? But they were stretching out the story. You know, there was no new details. Then they say, okay, our reporter on the ground has an update on what's happening. They go to the reporter and they say, well, here's what's happening. The same thing that I told you happened before is still the thing that was, I mean, she wouldn't give you any new information. I don't know. I found it interesting that, we are, I don't know, maybe they do it because they have a rotating audience and they want to have the new people constantly be updated. Maybe that's the reason why. If you watch it for any period of time, you're gonna, you know, you'll cross your eyes. But I do know that we've got to look seriously at our. I heard them say constantly. By the way, I know I'm kind of rambling here. I heard them say we have the safest air system in the world is in the United States. This is after two accidents within 48 hours, two devastating accidents within 48 hours, and the first thing they want to do is tell you everything's fine. Don't worry about it. What? Who are you kidding? Don't worry about it. Everybody's going to be worried about it. Everybody who steps inside an airplane, no matter whether it's private or commercial now, is going to be concerned about the safety of their flight because all of a sudden these strange things are happening. You know, we have a system that needs to be seriously looked into. And now the good news, something you can take heart in is that we have an administration now, a brand new administration that is going, I guarantee you, this president is going to do a serious reevaluation of the system. This guy owned an airline. People say, what do you mean Trump owned it? They used to be Trump Airlines. He had a bunch of DC-9s or something like that that he owned. I'll never forget. They were like black with big Trump lettering on it, and he flew like it was almost like a business class airplane as opposed to just
commuter flights that he bought from Eastern, as a matter of fact.
Yes, he did. That's where he got the planes from. You're right.
Yeah, I remember it well. He was, and you know, they were doing well. I don't know why he didn't stay into that, but you know, Trump is a guy that'll buy something like property. Buy it, you fix it up, you sell it at a higher price.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, he might have dabbled in the airline business. That is a tough business to be in.
Yes.
It really is. Us having the safest and the best, I don't know about that, because over the years I've seen a lot of tragic things, but it's been worldwide. You know, we take flying for granted, and where that number comes from that it's the safest.
Yeah.
You know, when a plane goes down, generally speaking, it's got a lot of people in it and a lot of lives are lost all at once. But if you take the whole of everybody that travels and the amount of flights, it's a pretty damn safe mode of transportation. Can it be better? Yeah. But, you know, and something like this happening is a tragedy. But, you know, to blame it on Trump. Well, he's been in the office for 8 days now, and he's made all these new decisions and appointments. You know, the guy was not even in there 24 hours, So any policy that was in place is from the previous administration or administrations is old policy that hasn't had a chance to be updated. You got to give it time.
How many of our listeners have wondered, I'm sure they're out there, if we took the money that we were throwing out to these different wars around the world and used it to reinvigorate our commuter systems and our trains and stuff like that, would we not have the best in the world? I mean, the billions of dollars we've thrown away to fight wars in the Ukraine, if we said, no, we're keeping that money and we're going to rebuild our entire train system, you know, we're going to put in maglev from Los Angeles to New York.
Now, it's funny you mentioned the trains and the rails.
Yeah.
Because I always thought, you know, that's a cool mode of transportation. And they even talked about the super train. There was money allocated, a budget put forward during the Obama administration. That was one of the things that he was going to do is reinvigorate and redo our rail system. He did not. Do you see new tracks or
nothing?
Do you drive over tracks on an intersection there and they're old tracks? Hell, you might get a flat tire if, you know, one of the rivets holding down the rail pops up. I've had that happen before.
Yeah.
You know, the trains, I see a lot more trains that are graffitied sitting in the yard than I do on the tracks, carrying, you know, supplies and carrying people. And the rail system, as old as it's been around, as long as it's been around, you know, it's still the best, one of the best ways we have to carry some serious cargo,
you know,
across this big nation that we have, and also, you know, transport people.
We should, you know, look at if we were to take the money we blow on foreign aid and foreign wars, and even if we said to the military, the vast military complex, industrial military complex out there, if we said to them, look, we know you make a lot of money making shells and bullets and stuff like that, but we also know you have the industrial manufacturing ability to make changes to your system and to help us build these trains. I mean, if you're in a business and you're saying, wait a second, I can make $1 billion profit if I sell bullets and shells, but I can also make $1 billion profit in peacetime helping to make rails, you know, for the railroad system. I would think that that would pacify and placate a lot of these people who are so used to making just the military stuff, you know. The other thing is this. There's been a lot of talk, and you probably have heard this too, about the fact that we may right now have underground railways that we don't even know about that are being used by the government. There's been a lot of talk about that. But I would think that if at the very least, if we don't have it, we probably have the ability to create stuff like that. You know, underground, we have these tunnel drilling systems. You've seen them. Mm-hmm. In Pittsburgh, for example, they wanted to build a subway tunnel underneath the Allegheny River. You're saying, mm-hmm. Underneath the river? My God, it took them about 3 months to do it. Now, in the old days, it would take them forever. But they had this big, huge drill. You've seen them. They go through mountains. And the thing just goes around at a relatively, you know, slow speed. It has all these different blades on it. And it just cuts a tunnel under. And if there's a rock in the way, it eats the rock up. It goes right underneath whatever it's going through. And before you know it, there's a tunnel. And what they do, is as they dig the tunnel, they put in the shells, the support shells behind
the tubes.
The tubes so that it doesn't cave in, you know?
And that's why they call it, I believe it's called the Liberty Tubes.
Well, I don't think that was done that way, Bill. But
one of them is the Squirrel Hill.
Well, there is something called the Liberty Tubes, but that was made in 1928, and they didn't have these kind of drills. That what they have right now, what I'm talking about, is something they came out with. They've made tunnels, for example, in the French Alps with these things. They've gone through mountains with these things.
And
so they have
the transatlantic tunnel they just did.
They have the ability. I didn't know they have a transatlantic tunnel. Do they have a tunnel?
I believe that was in the news. They have been doing that forever, and I think they've either just completed the thing or came close, or they're close to doing it, but they've been doing that for a while.
I haven't heard a thing about that, but that's interesting. I think we have the ability to do this stuff, but we don't have the politicians with the brains or the interest in doing this stuff. But I do think we have one now. We have a builder in the White House. We have a guy who, whether you like it or not, he's made his living making some of the most interesting buildings on our landscape, and he knows how to do it cost-effectively and to get things done. And it would not surprise me, Bill, if this is where he's going to go within the next 4 years, if we start seeing these things happen, which would be a definite improvement. It would also relieve what I was going to get to. If we had an effective, fast ground transportation system like the trains that you could rely on, it would relieve the burden of commuter planes and the airlines. It would maybe make less congestion in the air, because we wouldn't all have, if you wanted to go from New York to Philadelphia, instead of taking a commuter plane, you could hop on a high-speed train that would get you. I know they have one now, but it goes on traditional track, folks. It goes on traditional track. These right. You're still going to, you see them going up the corridor to Boston, right, the high-speed trains. They got to make sure that there isn't a slow train in front of them, or they end up going slow.
Apparently the tunnel I'm talking about, I thought it was they were working on it.
Yeah,
I'd seen some pictures posted, but apparently it's a $20 trillion proposal to go from New York to
London.
To England. So, yeah, you could get there and you could drive it in your car in 3 hours, or take some kind of tunnel transportation.
There's so much that we could do. We have the brains and the technology. But do we have the will to do it? Do the people realize? Maybe they like the idea, these countries, that there's an ocean separating them and they can't be so easily accessed. Right now I hear people say, well, one of the good things about the United States is the Pacific and the Atlantic separating us from the troublemakers. Like the people in Russia and the Ukraine and stuff like that. I don't know. We could go on and on. Other things, Bill. You heard about today is an important day. We're doing the show on Saturday. They're initiating tariffs, Bill, against Canada and Mexico today.
Yeah, they kick in today. You're right.
And people have been saying, "Oh, are these really going to happen? Are you really going to have tariffs?" Caroline Leavitt was in a press conference yesterday, and she was asked about it. Listen,
friends of Reuters are reporting that the president has made a decision on the Canada-Mexico tariffs, but that they won't actually be implemented until March 1st. So I was wondering if you could confirm that and talk through some of the president's thinking.
I saw that report, and it is false. I was just with the president in the Oval Office, and I can confirm that tomorrow, the February 1st deadline that President Trump put into place at a statement several weeks ago, continues. The president will be implementing tomorrow a 25% tariffs on Mexico, 25% tariffs on Canada, and a 10% tariff on China for the illegal fentanyl that they have sourced and allowed to distribute into our country, which has killed tens of millions of Americans. These are promises made and promises kept by the president.
The president yesterday said that last night he was planning to discuss whether an exemption would be made on oil imports. Do you have any information on what decision he made there, or will there be exemptions at all offered under this?
I don't have an update or readout for you on the exemptions, but those tariffs will be for public consumption in about 24 hours tomorrow, so you can read them then.
The funny thing about this is they seem like they're surprised that he's actually going to implement the tariffs against Canada and Mexico. They've had warning. And Justin Trudeau, by the way, made a comment yesterday like, we will not be bullied or something like that. Hey, Justin, all we're asking you to do is to stop the flow of fentanyl from your country into our country. What's the problem? Why don't you say, hey, look, we'll do our very best to do that, sir. Yeah, that's a great idea. We'll double up our efforts. Instead, you're spending all of your time, huffing and puffing and posturing yourself, It's mind-boggling. And, Bill, I have no problem with tariffs on these countries. It shows them that we're serious. Trump is not.
I mean, tariffs have they've been a part of our history and other countries' history, and it was something we did for a long time. We didn't have an income tax, so why do we have it? You know, going on now.
Yeah. Well, they have a lot of thinking to do. People were saying, well, they still have time to change their mind. No, Trump is not going to change his mind. He said, if you don't do it by Saturday, if you don't do it by February 1st, we're going to initiate a 25% tariff. And after that, it's going to go up to 50%. And he has no problem with that. And quite frankly, they need us more than we need them. Look, I love Canadians. I love Canada. I've been there many times. I used to go there when I was a little boy with my parents on vacation. I went there with my family on vacation, on trips to Toronto and places like that. Had a great time. Loved the Canadians. Always thought it was a kindred country. But the fact of the matter is, to my Canadian friends who I care a lot about, I think you have a government that needs to be, you have to etch-a-sketch it. I don't mean it through violence, through voting. You have got to change the thinking up there. You have a guy, I forgot his name, Pouvreau or something, Pierre, anyway, the guy who was eating an apple during an interview. This guy, to me, is the kind of leader you need. Mm-hmm. He's a leader of the people. He's very much, I don't mean he's like Trump, but they're cut from the same kind of cloth, if you know what I mean. They're not pretentious. They're not, you get what you get. People are saying about Trump, boy, you know, he's doing all these different press conferences impromptu, and the media has never had so much access. Well, I think Trump's attitude is, look, you hired me to do something. And the only way I'm going to prove that I'm doing it is to keep a constant flow of information to the people. So I'm going to keep talking, you know, and that's what he's doing. But this guy up in Canada, what a breath of fresh air he would be compared to Justin Trudeau. Justin Trudeau is just a con man, just, you know, and he's hurting your country. Don't get into this fight over tariffs because, you know, you're going to lose. We don't need what you're selling us. You know,
that's what Trump said.
Yeah. We can make it up from some other country or internally.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that Justin's going to make it, but then again, too, I don't know whose dance card he holds. So, you know, a lot of times these guys that you think are, you know, they're done, they pull a rabbit out of their hat or somebody, you know, finds a way. Well, the people spoke, and you know it's not the people speaking.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about think of the guy who is his last name is Poilievre, Poilievre. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong, but this guy's a smart guy, and he cuts to the chase. Pierre Poilievre, or Poilievre. Maybe, he is a straight shooting, no nonsense kind of guy. He might even give Trump a run for his money, with certain things. But that might be a good thing, you know. But right now, you have a guy who's running your country, who's really thinking about himself. It's like having a Gavin Newsom running Canada, you know, the same kind of comb my hair, make sure I look good for the camera kind of guy, who doesn't know what he's doing. And he's hurting you guys. So, and I say that because we have listeners in Canada, too. So we have listeners.
We got listeners everywhere.
It's amazing, Bill. Wouldn't you tell me yesterday about some of our listeners?
Russia. Yeah. That's on the, we have a radio stream that we really haven't done that much with, but it's still there. You can hear, like, today's show will be up, and maybe an hour after we do it, it will be there, and just, it streams back to back by itself. So people can get it that way. We don't; those numbers don't get counted anywhere. It just plays.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and that's it.
And we have somebody's listening in Russia to that stream, which is repeating that show over and over and over.
And I guess to get it all, they listen for about 3 or 4 hours at a time. I'm like, well, whatever you missed the first time, you get the second time. Today, they're going to, I don't know if you can hear it. I mean, I've got a rear end that lives across the street. That's a car buff, and he's out revving his engine, so I've...
Oh, don't worry about it. Cannot hear it. You sound great.
Yeah, I got the noise gates on to stop everything.
It is the professional radio pronouncer that Mr. Knight is, that he's very sensitive to stuff like that. But the good news is you're using a great mic, and it's keeping all that stuff away from us. Caroline Leavitt's press conference continued yesterday. She talked about these fathead Democrats, these leftist Democrats in sanctuary cities and states that are causing problems. Listen.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me here and answering your question. So I want to talk more about the success that ICE is having, finding these violent criminal aliens, some of them being sexual predators. But my friend Ben Burkholm reports that the Chicago mayor and the Illinois governor are preventing ICE agents from going into jails and prisons to enforce detainers against illegal aliens. In Maryland, the attorney general has also put out a memo hindering local police cooperation with ICE. Does the administration have any comment on leftist state local officials defying ICE and Trump's deportation efforts?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting that Democrat officials in these cities who have been completely overrun and overwhelmed by illegal immigrant criminals would refuse support and help to cure this problem that has especially taken over their cities. I guess they don't want to admit they've been wrong with their sanctuary city policies. I'm not sure. You'll have to ask them about their intentions, but they would be very wise to comply with this administration, because this administration is hell-bent on enforcing our nation's immigration laws, and this administration will continue to arrest and detain and deport illegal migrant criminals. And what we won't do is defy our nation's immigration laws like the previous administration, who had these orders of removal on illegal immigrants across the country and were refusing to execute on them. We will continue to remove illegal criminals from our nation's interior.
Are they sanctuary city leaders? Are they violating the law?
I would certainly think so. I'd have to check back on which specific law they're violating, but certainly if they're not enforcing our nation's immigration law, sounds like they are breaking the law. And I would also add that their constituents don't approve of that. You've seen residents in Chicago show up at their city council meetings infuriated with their leadership in that city, because they are working very hard to provide for their families. They want public safety and law and order, and their officials have abandoned those very basic American principles in these cities. And the American people want law and order. It's, an overwhelmingly popular policy to deport illegal criminals from our nation's interior, and this administration will continue to affect that goal.
What a breath of fresh air she is, by the way, as far as being a press secretary. She's not looking at a binder or a folder. It's off the top of her head. She knows her facts, and she's looking directly at the person asking the question. She's asking the question, by the way, from people in the back of the room, too, which was never the situation before. And the other thing, Bill, I noticed yesterday, and maybe you, I don't know whether you heard the press conference, they had a feedback problem. And for some, and I've never heard that at a press conference of the White House in my career. It was an annoyance in the beginning, and it went on for a while. And I was thinking, there's got to be an audio tech doing those press conferences whose job it is to run the levels on the microphone to make sure that this situation doesn't continue. But it actually went on for a while. And I'm thinking, is there somebody messing around with the system just to cause a little problem here, a little problem there? You know?
Probably.
It's amazing. Anyway, there was also another situation, Bill. We were talking about the flights, the crash at D.C. And NBC, which is, you know, it's a leftist news organization. Now, it used to be such a good news organization. I go back to the days of Chet Huntley and David Brinkley, right? They were down the middle, neutral, all-American news. You know, you could rely on them for news. Well, now it's become a leftist tool, and it's just it's an embarrassment of itself. But they like to get their 2 cents in. There was a press conference with the NTSB about the crash in the Potomac, and this clown from NBC thought they'd make it political. Listen.
Hello, sir. Tom Costello with NBC News. Does it hurt your investigative process, maybe for the chairman, does it hurt your investigative process to have the president already suggesting possible causes here as you try to keep an open mind and begin this investigation?
Doctor?
Tom, with all due respect, I think the press also likes to state what probable cause is before we get to the probable cause. So what I'm going to say is you need to give us time.
Yeah, she says, the press was saying, did the president jump the gun and give a probable cause before he had knowledge of the probable cause? And this NTSB official came out and said, with all due respect, Tom, I guess that was the guy from NBC, the press likes to do that, too. Before we have an answer. So what we need is time. The press is getting pushback for the first time in 4.5 years. It's delightful to watch. It really is.
Didn't they lose some office space around, where is it, in the Pentagon?
It's funny you should say that. I think they were thrown out, weren't they?
They weren't even, they give it a heads up. They just got the memo. Oh, by the way, clear your office. And what that is that they have access to the Pentagon and a lot of things that are going on by being there. We're talking about NBC, sources like that. I'm trying to see here in my notes.
Well, Bill, if they're there to cause an issue and to interfere with their, by giving the wrong news, then why not kick them out?
A total left-wing rag is Politico, and they had an office there, too, where they had a desk right there, had straight access to everything. And all these news sources, NBC, all of them, sit there and they take the news and they give you bits and pieces of it. They don't give you the whole story. Or at least summarize both sides, so you get the whole idea of what's going on. They keep you blind, and that's wrong. So,
speaking of the Pentagon, Pete Hegseth did a press. Well, it was an interview with a few people yesterday. I don't know whether it was a full blown press conference, but they asked him about, does this mean that you would use, there was some gunfire this week. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, folks. There was gunfire on the border between cartels and our military on the border. It was the cartel showing us we don't worry about you. You're not so tough, U.S. military. And the military fired back and said, oh, yes, we are. But the media sounded surprised that we actually used that as an option.
The drug cartels have been declared terrorist organizations. And if you find that, and we know if there's Al-Qaeda, we're going to hit them. I don't care if you're in Somalia, Sudan, or in Syria. If we find that they continue to fire at our border patrol and they continue to put fentanyl into our country, as the Secretary of Defense, are you permitted now to go after them in Mexico or wherever they are?
Brian, I don't want to get ahead of the president, and I won't. But that's ultimately going to be his decision. But let me be clear, all options will be on the table. If we're dealing with what are designated to be foreign terrorist organizations who are specifically targeting Americans on our border, and we're finally securing our border. We've been securing other people's border for a very long time. The military is shifting toward an understanding of homeland defense on our sovereign territorial border. That is something we will do and do robustly. So we're already...
That's Pete Hegseth, the new Secretary of Defense, saying that, all options are on the table. You want to mess around with our borders? And he's right. We've been protecting all these other borders for all these other countries. Now, it's about time we start paying attention to our borders now. If you're going to try coming across the border and messing around with our country, you're going to run into a problem. Don't mistake the last 4 years as being a permanent policy. Bill, I think that this is just the beginning. I think you're going to see more trouble on the border because there's too much money involved. And I do think that the cartels have got so much money invested in military might, their own military. They have private armies.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the question is, do they have access to? They got the money. They could sit there and buy jets. you know, and everything else. I mean, any kind of vessels they buy, submarines to bring in stuff,
yeah,
is just for, you know, hauling supplies, you know, and they even have factored in, you know, product captured, you know, that they don't care because they'll just keep making more and flooding us with everything they got.
You know, Bill, you said submarines. They do have submarines.
Yeah, they're hollowed out and they carry cargo.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And cargo is drugs, yeah.
Amazing stuff. So it will be interesting to see how this progresses. The media, they're going to try to make Trump out to be the bad guy no matter what he does for us. No matter how honest he is, no matter how open he is, the media, because they're leftist tools, are going to do their very best to make Trump to be the villain. Get used to it over the next 3 years and 11 mm-hmm. months. It's going to be the way it's going to be.
Well, is it trickle down for them? In other words, you've got bad players, all right? Bad players to survive need politicians in their pockets. So they got that. Politicians to survive needs the media in their pocket. And yeah. Boy, you know what? It sure seems like, you know, some of the media, I mean, the politicians have the media in their pocket, and the media seems to be, you know, only there to help one side. You know, and when they poo-poo somebody, why are they poo-pooing them?
Yeah.
You know, their job is to report the news, not give opinion, and not sit there and suppress one side from the other. You know, now Trump, everyone's going to probably scream about this, but who was it that he told? It was the USDA gave him an edict yesterday. Said, oh, by the way, go to your website. Take all your propaganda down by the end of the day, please.
Yeah, they actually did a bill to every division of government. Get all
no
your
propaganda.
No more propaganda. No more environmental green stuff. No more. Take it down.
And, you know, the thing we talked about, the Pentagon with the news, yeah, NBC, you know, kicked out of their NPR. You know, you give up your space there.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that they're going to be forever kicked out. Yeah, he invited One American News and Breitbart in. That's it. But what they're going to do, because they said so, they said, yeah, we are going to do a rotating schedule of media.
Yeah.
So everyone will get, you know, some access, close access, but you're not going to sit there and be able to, you know, pitch a tent up the rear end of the Pentagon.
If you feel bad for NBC and you say,
I don't.
Have you heard about this? MSNBC's ratings were the worst ever this past January. This past January, they had the worst ratings they've ever had in the key demo. The key demo is 25 to 54, which is that's where the money is, they think. That's why all the ads are targeted towards those types of people. So MSNBC, they brought Rachel Maddow. They had given her, I don't know how they could do this. They gave her a raise of millions of dollars and told her she could do one show a week. And now they're saying, then they said about 2 months ago, Rachel, you have to come back to the office and do five shows for us. We're going to give you a pay cut, and you have to do five shows a week now. So they brought her back, and she was doing her five shows a week, and yet they still tanked.
Yeah. You know, who I thought did better than her was Chuck Todd. Now, he's a lefty liberal, but I thought he did a better job. He'd been around for a long time. Rachel, you know where she's going. And
you know, Chuck Todd was he was the host of Meet the Press.
They fired him.
Yeah. They told him, Chuck, get your stuff. You remember that job you used to have? Well, you don't have it anymore.
Yeah, it's gone. And, yeah, and nobody likes to hear those words, no matter how good you are. Everyone goes, oh, you're good. You're going to find something else right away. Good luck with it. See you. Bye. You know,
they'd never fire you. Work. Chuck, you're too important. Next.
When you hear those words...
Get your stuff together. You're going.
We want to take a picture to hang it on the wall. Well, yeah. When that picture goes up, you go. Yeah. You know, somebody goes.
Yeah.
You know, now that I look at that picture, that guy's been here a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Ask Mark Milley about pictures on the wall.
That's a kiss of death. When somebody puts your picture on a wall.
Yep.
You better have your resumes out there because you're about to be kicked out the door.
And speaking of being kicked out the door, in case you haven't heard, the administration is getting rid of a lot of FBI agents who worked on the J6 protests and also worked on the lawfare cases against President Trump. I wouldn't want to be an FBI agent who went down and raided Mar-a-Lago right now, because there's a good chance you're on the unemployment line. You know, the ones who were breaking, who were going through the personal belongings of Melania Trump. No. I would say your job is histoire. They were also getting rid of senior executives in the FBI, too. Not just the rank and file who were, you know, participating, but there are a bunch of senior executives in the FBI who've been terminated, who are being shown the door. There are six EAD, I guess they're executive assistant directors. Six of them have been shown the door, and a bunch of special agents, you know, that are out. I want to say there's 25 of them or so. Yeah, 25 special agents in charge were also given the ultimatum. You can either get your stuff together and retire, you know, and I guess you get a package when you retire, or we'll be showing you the door later on this week. So a lot of them are going. So there's a lot of change in these organizations, but it's not necessarily unwarranted. Don't think that these are just, indiscriminately people removed from their jobs. These are people who did stuff that this administration deems unlawful and unjust, and they're being shown the door for it, you know? Anything else? I'm looking at the clock on the old wall. We're close to wrapping today up. Anything else you want to talk about before?
You ever hear of John Rogers?
John Rogers. Why does that name sound familiar? John Rogers. Tell me
about
it.
He was the advisor to the Federal Reserve. Advisor to the Federal Reserve.
Oh.
Well, apparently he got arrested because he was leaking trade secrets, all kinds of tariff information, everything to China.
Ooh, naughty boy.
He
came in during the Obama administration?
Yeah, around 2010. So he was there during the Trump administration, too. First term, Trump probably didn't know anything about him. Oh, okay, seems like a good guy, doing an okay job. Yeah, he sure was, and pretty heavy during the Biden administration. And, of course, now Trump going, okay, we need to clean out the rats. Turned out he was a rat. I guess there was some, you know, some kids, you know, kind of like the kids that, and this is interesting, because if you remember during the campaign, little Timmy Walz.
Yeah.
He was always going to China.
Yeah.
And he taught over there.
Yeah.
So did this guy. And he taught a class because they lured him in with gifts and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're a smart guy. Let's get you teaching here. And they get you on their payroll, $450,000 a year. Ain't bad for that. And you really don't have to teach the class. Sound familiar?
Which is a good deal. You know,
it's a really good deal. You know, but hey, could you give us a tip on some information?
Yeah.
Because you want to keep that job. You're going to do that, which he did. Well, he got caught. I wonder if they ought to go back and take another look at Tim. You know, even though he's didn't get in.
Well,
Tim,
the left isn't going down with a fight. I don't know if you heard about this, but a federal judge on Friday temporarily blocked President Trump's order to freeze federal funding to 22 states on public loans and grants. On Monday, Trump's Office of Management and Budget put out a temporary pause of agency grants, loans, and other financial assistance programs. But this judge. Temporary pause will provide the administration time to. It goes on and on and on. But this judge decided, well, no. I'm above the president, so I'm going to put a pause on this. These people who he was, by the way, put in by President Clinton, I believe. Maybe he was Obama, but he was put in by the left. Also, a U.S. District Court Judge George O'Toole, Bill Clinton appointed judge, has blocked the transfer of a transgender biological male from a woman's prison to a male facility. You know, they're adding their two cents, the left is, and they're trying to do what they can to muck up the situation. That's muck with an M.
Well, everything they're doing against Trump, they're saying, he broke the law, it's illegal. No, he didn't break the law. And you know what? Let's be honest about law and lawfare.
Yeah.
Laws are created by attorneys who want to have jobs forever. Yeah. So laws are not absolute, finite, etched in stone by a burning bush in West Texas. They are subjective.
Yeah,
so in other words, you and I could argue against each other about whether this pen is really a pen. You might sit there and say different. And I'm going, no, it's pen. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's ballpoint and all.
Sometimes, Bill, sometimes I think you should make it a prerequisite that in order to be a representative in our government, you cannot be a lawyer. Right now, half of them, maybe three quarters of them are lawyers.
That throws common sense out the door if you have a non-lawyer in there, because, and aren't the laws there to protect and to serve us?
Well,
not,
you know,
to sit there and control us.
Representatives, when our country started, for the most part, were farmers. I mean, they used to spend 3 months of their life just getting from their home district to Washington. Then they would do their governing. Then they would spend another 3 months going back to their home place because it was, you know, they may have lived quite a distance away.
If you look at Kentucky, I think Lincoln was from Kentucky, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. The county seats there, if you notice in Kentucky, they're smaller. They're closer together, and that was so that you could within a day's walk from your house, you could go to where you needed to go, walk it, get your job done, and be home, you know, at a reasonable time for dinner or something like that.
I should point out with a caveat, he was from Kentucky, but he, as an adult, was a lawyer in Illinois, Springfield, Illinois. Another thing I wanted to point out before we wrap this update, Tony Blinken, very unimpressive guy. He's out of government, thank God, right now, because this guy was just an embarrassment, I think. He couldn't negotiate what he was going to have for breakfast the next day. I guess out of the 51 people who were on that ad that were saying that Russia involvement was... Do you remember that ad that in the 2020 election? Right before the election, they came out with this advertisement. I think it was in the New York Daily News. 51 intelligence officers had a letter that was... full of fictional statements about Russia and Trump's involvement and it embarrassed President Trump. So President Trump has had the last laugh. Apparently, he has not just pulled their security clearances, their top secret security clearances, all these 51 people, but now he is keeping them out of the buildings. They don't have access to these government buildings anymore. I'm not talking specifically about buildings that would have maybe top secret information in the building. Like if the guy was involved with the Pentagon, he can't go into the building anymore. You know, if he was working on something top secret in the State Department, he can't go into the State Department anymore. These people are, Trump is not fooling around this time around. And he doesn't really care whether you like it or not, you know.
Once he got to lose, not the presidency, in 4 years, he's done.
Exactly.
Unless we prove it was stolen and we decide to go to 3 terms for presidents.
Well, he said that on occasion. Have you seen him? Every so often he'll throw that up there like a possibility.
I think he's trying to get their goats on that. But you never know. I mean, never say never.
No.
Sad news, this out of the State Department, but apparently the State Department has to, they lost the T from their LGBTQ.
Oh.
Now it's just LGB.
They lost their Q. T? The T and the Q?
Yeah. Well, it says it's LGBT, so there's no Q.
No Q anymore?
Well, they didn't have Q in the story, but I think there is a Q, but they took the T out. Either way, they lost the T, so there is no transgender.
There's LGBTQ.
All right. And, you know, I gotta ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
You know, L, okay, lesbian.
Yes.
G, gay.
Right.
B, bisexual.
Right.
All right. And then T is transgender, and then, of course, they put the Q in for queer, okay?
What is the difference between gay and queer?
Well, Yeah, I'm almost wondering if Q just kind of, the Q community, doesn't that kind of sum it all up?
Yeah, I don't know, folks.
And I'm not saying that as a
you got to talk to a leftist to get a an explanation on that.
No, I'll give you the explanation.
Okay,
that's why you got LGBTQ. You know, oh, you're a rat. Okay, rats. You know.
Yeah, I guess you know, as you go along, if you determine you're a different something, you can add that to the list of letters. Is that how it works?
Yeah, you know, and people go, you know, hey, I want to make a name for myself. People want to stand out in the crowd.
I've often wondered if you're albino, shouldn't you have an A in there?
Hmm. Men that wear baseball caps because they got no
hair. I wear a baseball cap all the time. It's the poor man's hairpiece.
There you go. So, yeah, you should do that. I've got a short toe from surgery. So maybe, you know, the short-toed guys, there's very few of us.
That's two letters, though, Bill. That's ST. And it might be you might be confused. They may think you're a short transgender.
Well, that's true. Yeah, well, that would be like stubby, too, you know. But either way, you know, all these words are terms of, you know,
separation.
Separation.
Yep.
And what they're doing is they're dividing you into little communities.
Yep.
And those little communities now depend on the Democrat Party for, you know, some kind of.
Hey, understand something,
control,
folks.
Man. It's control.
Understand something. We don't care. I don't care. If you are one of those different categories, God bless you. You know, live your life.
Who you love and what you do in your own home.
Live your life.
That's your business.
Right.
None of mine.
And I'm not going to separate you and make you into a specific group that has to be treated differently.
No.
Just lead your life. You know, Bill and I come from broadcast. Let me do a little side here. We come from broadcasting, all right? And in broadcasting, there are people who have they have different life choices that they make, okay? And that's just the way it is. This is the way it's been for years. I'm talking about decades. Never a big deal. You just go on with your life. It's not the thing that defines the whole person. You know, it's a part of what they are, a part of who we are. You know, there's a lot of other gifts that those people have that make them special. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is that just lead your life. If your life includes a different lifestyle than mine, so be it. Just don't interfere with my lifestyle, and I won't interfere with yours. We'll get along very well. Anyway, I think
Your God, I'll worship my God.
And I'll tell you, there's something, for example, that we all can enjoy, no matter what our lifestyles are. It's a good cup of coffee.
Yeah.
A good cup of coffee. And have we got the brand for you. Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. You're saying, what? Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. You're saying, I never heard of that before. Well, listen, the best thing to do is to try some. It's not overpriced. It's not amateur hour when it comes to coffee because it's made by some of the finest manufacturers of coffee in the world. It is put together by a group of by people who know what they're doing. They know how to select the beans and get the right roast. It's a medium roast, by the way, our coffee is, and a medium decaf roast. It's a delicious way to start your day. We would suggest that you try some, and you can do so by going to itsanotherday.com, and there's a button on top of our homepage that says rightside.com. And you press that button, rightsideshop.com. Mm-hmm. You press that button, takes you right to our storefront. If you want to go directly to the storefront, just go to rightsideshop.com. You see a whole bunch of neat stuff. Mm-hmm. And you'll see our brand new. Is it going to be limited edition, or do you think it'll be? What do you think?
Well, I know there's another one that's in the works right behind it, but you got to let this one percolate, so to speak.
I like that.
Yeah, you got to let it percolate, and you know, if you want to know the name of it, we won't tell you the spokesperson that's pictured on it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, this guy is Indiana Jones meets and something,
then some,
you know?
And then some.
And yeah. then some, yeah. But either way, it's MAPA coffee. MAPA, yeah. Make America percolate again.
Yes. One of our listeners, a fan down in Vero Beach, our buddy Bart, we have to say hello and thank you again because he actually suggested that. You know, yeah. He was saying, hey, why didn't you use this as a slogan?
So we threw it at the marketing department and said, guys, what can you do with this?
Their reaction was, genius, magnificent. We got to do this.
Absolutely can do it. Give us a month and we'll come back with something. And they did.
Yep. So make America percolate again is our motto for Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee. We have the bag now to prove it. Got to see it. Check it out.
Yeah. Good stuff. And I'll tell you what. You'll be proud to own some of the MAPA coffee or the Right Side coffee. You want to get them both. And I know there's another one that'll be coming out down the road. But
Bill, I kind of like the MAPA coffee. I kind of like that. It's a nice, easy way to cut to the chase. Maybe our coffee is called Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, but calling it MAPA coffee is kind of neat. You know, it's MAPA coffee for the MAGA person out there. If you're MAGA, you'll love MAPA too, really.
Ooh, I like that. You know, even if you're lefto, you'll like MAPA.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. If you're leftist, you will have a sip of Jim and Bill's Right Side Coffee, and before you know it, you'll be thinking clearly.
You'll slap yourself in the head.
What was I thinking? Exactly. Anyway, that's about it. I'm looking forward to the coming week. If the past 2 weeks are an indication of where this administration is going, it's going to be an exciting 4 years, very exciting 4 years.
I have a positive outlook on the Trump administration for the next 4 years. I know the lefty people are going, oh, my God, oh, you know, because they want him out of there. They have been programmed like sheep. That's what the lefty says all the time when they watch the news. But either way, they've been programmed to think the way they do. They got a hate for Trump, a hate for Melania. They have a hate for you. They have a hate for me because we just don't see things the way that they do. Mm-hmm. But here's what I do see.
What do you see?
I do see that they will stop at nothing to get rid of Trump. And they've lost all their scruples, all their morals, all their humanity. I mean, if they saw him walking down the street and they had access to a weapon, they would do something. That's how far the left is sunk. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of people abandon the party, is because, wait a minute, that's not me.
Yeah.
And you got to step back and take a look.
Well, what Hakeem Jeffries said yesterday, we'll fight them in the courts, we'll fight them in the legislation, and we'll fight them on the streets. And the people said, what? This is the leader of the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives. I'm paraphrasing, but the last part I'm not. He said we'll fight them in the streets, meaning what? Civil disobedience, civil disorder. And I think the answer to that question is yes. He would encourage that if they can't do it legally. He would encourage that. These are the same people.
Schumer has.
Yeah. Well, these are the same people who, when they have control, they don't want any civil unrest. They're always talking about law and legality, and then when the shoe is on the other foot, so to speak, they're encouraging it. So,
yeah, and law and legality, they talk about that, but the simple fact is, when you have the judges in place and in control, you know, is it really law? Is it really legality? Or is it, you know, a rubber stamp and life under the mushroom? I would say it's life under your mushroom because, you know, again, you know, I have very strong opinions about that, but I don't think, you know, we are the free people that we have been led to believe that we are.
Well, I think Trump is going to change that. I think he wants us to be free. I think he wants us to be that country where we're always led to believe that we are. I really do. I think he's coming to it, by the way, not as a politician. He comes to it as a civilian, as a businessman, and I think he's like us. He's in a unique situation. He has the financial resources and the political clout now, but I think he looked at government when he was on the sidelines like we did. It's honest. It's supposed to be honest and caring and considerate and above board, and it hasn't been that for a long time. Okay, buddy. I think it's it's about done. Today's update program. I hope you all have a great remainder of your weekend. With a little bit of luck, we'll have another interesting program for you on Monday, and I'm out of here, Bill. What do you got to
say? Yeah, you're out of here. Well, I can tell you this. The left will have a filled day with the news over the weekend because they control it. Something else bad can happen. But until we meet again, hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.